Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
All right, good evening and welcome to Breaking the Silence. I'm Greg Williams, and you're right here in my home. And it looks like the sun is coming down right behind me over the Texas Medical Center here in Houston, Texas, which I just think is one of the most awesome cities in the country, if not the world. I love being a part of Texas, and especially Houston. You can see all kinds of Memorial Hospital and Texas Children's Hospital and MD Anderson and St. Luke's, and all those hospitals are back there behind me at this wonderful medical center in Houston. Thank you for being with us tonight. We're going to have a kind of a different program, but I want to just let you know how you can be involved. This will be one of those programs you're stuck with me tonight, just sharing from my heart, sharing from some of the things that I have learned in the last few months. And this was not because somebody canceled. I deliberately set this moment aside just to kind of talk with y'all and to share with you some things that's on my heart, some things that I've written down over the last few weeks that I just want to share with you. And I would love for you to get involved. Let me take a drink of water here. You to get involved, and you can do that two or three different ways. One, you can get on Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page right now. We are live. I'm sitting there watching myself just take a drink of water. And you can post your question or your comment there. And while you're on there, go ahead and hit like. Those help with the algorithms on that system. And you can also text me at 832-396-6525. Or better yet, if you have a comment or a question, 888-627-6008. Thomas, TJ is right there in the radio station tonight, and he will answer your call, patch you through. We don't screen our calls. I would just love to have anybody call and have a comment, just a thought, maybe from your own experience. We're getting ready to come up on upon 5 years of being on the BBS radio station. And TJ and I were just talking about that. It seems like, wow, time has flown by. In the olden days, we were doing just audio. And then about year in, we started taking in the video portion because people not only like to listen to the podcast, but they like to watch it on the different streams that they go out on next week. And there's just some awesome things. We had some awesome guests on the last 5 years. So we're going to talk about that the first Sunday night in August. But I will let you know that in a couple weeks, make sure you tune in because Eugenia Valencia is going to be back with us for the rest of her story. She was the young lady that was prematurely born in a Russian prison, and the nurses had set her aside as an infant baby just delivered to basically die. And she started crying over there, and they took her and put her in an orphanage, and her life story is just unbelievable. She's a Houstonian, and she's going to be on to talk about the rest of that story and how God got her through that, how she found the resiliency to endure that, and some of the life lessons that she has learned through pain. You know, life was never meant to be for us a bed of roses. Nobody ever guarantees that. Matter of fact, it seems like sometimes the harder that we try, the more brick walls we run into and the more speed bumps and the more potholes we run into on that journey called life. And some days it just gets bombarding us from every side, every direction, up, down, left, and right. And we have very little peace. And in the middle of some of those storms is, I honestly believe, the time that we can learn some of life's toughest, richest, the most depth, and the most meaningful life lessons that we need to pass on to other people. My life has been, on the surface, looks pretty good. In reality, from the very moment I remember, as my childhood, it was something that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. With the abuse, not only sexually, but physically and mentally and emotionally and all the lees. But I think some of those verbal things that were said to me stay in my gray matter of my brain attic, and they stay up there and they reside up there and they start dismantling things. And by the time you're a mid-teenager, you're really messed up, even though you play the game, that you're all right and everything's fine and dandy, when in reality, you're looking in the mirror, trying to pull your hair out, wondering how you're going to get through the next day. One of the things that right off the shoot that I found out early in life was that when I help other people, I end up filling my own tank emotionally. And I still do that today, even though I'm tired, had a long day today. All I really want to do is sleep. I have a couple of calls right after this radio show tonight that I have to take, if not more than a couple. And I don't mind that. But there's got to be a time that you allow yourself to refresh, recharge. And I'm fixing to do that this coming week, which is taking some days off and relaxing. But in that those teenage years, in the early 20 years, it seems like that was what I reverted to. And I want to let you know something up front. Probably one of the first things that I wrote down when I was thinking about what I wanted to share with you tonight, that if honestly you're listening to the program this evening and you have not dealt with any of your childhood traumas, any of your childhood hurts or pains or abuse or neglects or mistreatment, if you haven't dealt with any of that, your relationships from here on out, and probably in your most recent past, will deal with that. I promise you that. I swear to that. If you don't deal with it, those relationships and the way you handle those relationships will deal with it. And it's not pretty, folks. You have to be able to start trying to reach out and receive some type of healing process, some type of tools and resources that you can actually apply to your life to try to begin the healing. In my early life, as I was saying, in my early and late teenage years, in early 20 years, I started doing that and pouring myself into other people, trying to help out them with any problems and neglecting mine, overlooking mine, and letting my life go to hell in a handbasket without ever even considering whether I was staying up all night saying negative things to myself or not. As long as I help one more person, it seemed to allow me enough fuel in my tank to get me to the next pit stop. But it was never enough to provide healing. It was a temporary bandage on a wound that was so wide and so deep that a Band-Aid was never going to cover it. And it was never going to cause and begin any type of healing. So let me just encourage you that if you haven't started dealing with the trauma, you need to start doing that, because if not, you're going to start noticing that all of your relationships, romantic, friendships, business relationships, best friends, any type of relationships are going to start being damaged because you don't have that corrective action and that corrective healing to start to begin in you. And when you try to play the game and not deal with it, it comes out in other ways. And we was talking about this the other day when I was up at Abilene. Welcome, Abilene, all those listeners that are listening tonight. I told you I'd call you out last week. I'm going to call you out again tonight. It was a great, great conference. I met some absolutely awesome people and just fell in love with Abilene. It was a long drive up there and back, but the people were absolutely unbelievable. And we talked about this word that I want you to write down and look up. Vicarious trauma. And what vicarious trauma is when you actually are caring for people, helping people, and during that role that you are in, even if it's helping a friend, if it's doing some church work, if it's actually being a counselor, being a doctor, a police officer, nurse, whatever it is, and you're helping somebody else, when you start tapping in to an emotional situation, it's going to automatically, whether you want it to or not, reach back in time and grab something that happened to you and bring that past to the present. And in that, the vicarious trauma starts reliving the trauma inside of your life, even though you think you're helping and assisting somebody else. Anybody have a thought on that? Anybody have a comment on that or a question on that? Feel free to call 888-627-6008. Nothing would make me happier tonight than not just listen to my voice, but also some people that's out there listening tonight and have a comment or a thought on anything that I happen to say this evening. And that vicarious trauma, back to that, is so important, because we start, after we start being traumatized over and over again and then re-traumatized, what ends up happening is we become numb. So let me break this down to where people that's as goofy as I am can understand it. Numb in my world reminds me of when you go to the dentist and they give you some Novocaine and it numbs pain. And then they can go in there and do the hard work. And then eventually those real feelings and those real nerves start becoming active again. When we have those nerves pop and something happens and it jolts us into a reactionary phase, okay, it will automatically, our body will start trying to say, hey, wait, this isn't happening. We're going to try to shut this down. We're going to try to numb it. We're going to try to get rid of it. We're going to try to ignore it. We do all kinds of different games. And matter of fact, most of the games that I play is I'm really not hurting at all. I'm okay. All's well. Go on and do your thing. I'm just going to stay home tonight in the dark and deal with this alone and not tell anybody. And I start numbing myself. And when I numb out, this happens a lot for people at the office. You understand that you just don't care anymore. You are just putting in your hours. You're just time clocking in and out. And then you walk out and you just really don't care. And you numb out. The only problem with the numbing phase is that we think we can numb out only what happens with us at work. And it won't affect us what happens at home. And thanks for playing. That isn't the way it works. You cannot numb an area of your life like your work relationship and how you deal with people and how you deal with that atmosphere at work and then assume that it's not going to affect what happens to you and how you deal with your own family. So you might as well start dealing with all of the trauma. And when the vicarious trauma starts re-bringing it back up, instead of dealing with that, go back to the original trauma and say, I have some issues that I need to work on. That was the only thing that got me to where I am somewhat normal today is I said, I have a problem. I have issues. Folks, I have issues. I was abused. I was hurt. There's still things that I haven't told that I don't know if I will ever reveal to people. So even though I try to tell the world, hey, I'm dealing with this, I have shared everything, there's still a couple things that I still don't know if I have the stomach to be able to share or what benefit it would have for me to share some of those deepest, darkest things that happened to me. And I'm not for sure I'm going to go there. But I do know that every time that I share and talk and try to get help and assistance, I get healing. Abilene helped me heal a lot. I got an opportunity to sit, talk, and hear, and listen, and cry with, and share with so many people that needed to share. And in that process, I was healed. And I will let you know that if you haven't dealt with that, please deal with that, because it will affect every relationship that you have here on out. When I was diagnosed several months ago with ALS, with the common knowledge of that is Lou Gehrig's disease, one of the first interactions that I had with a support group here in Houston is they handed me a catalog and said, you may want to go ahead and start picking out your wheelchair because you will be in a wheelchair. And you, and here's the different styles. Here's the different. And I immediately said, thank you, but no, thank you. I'm going to refuse that wisdom right now, because not that there's anything wrong with being in a wheelchair, but I am not going to forego that that is my soon to be prophecy. I'm not going to accept that. Matter of fact, I pretty well told everybody, I'll continue taking your medicine and your shot once a week, but I will not be a guinea pig. And in that presentation of recognizing that I have a disease that, according to the medical books, encyclopedias, and textbooks, and all the things of, you know, internet and everything, the longevity isn't long. I feel better tonight than I have in a long time. I got a feeling I'm going to feel better this week after some real rest that I have in a long time. And I'm going to keep on keeping on and not give in to what other people tell me what I can expect. Now, when there's days that I can't walk very well and I fall a lot, or there's days that I notice that something's happening to my lower lip, does that concern me? Absolutely. But I start thinking now differently than what I ever have in my entire life. My entire value system changes when you recognize that the things that you thought were important are getting ready to be lost. And in that, you have to reevaluate where you stand. What is important? Do I really think that on my deathbed, my last final wish is going to be, or should be, hey, roll me in one more time into my office and let me sit at my desk and push one more piece of paper, because that meant so much to me? I don't think so. They'll have me replaced before I ever get to that stage. There's probably somebody younger, better, and cheaper than me, and they can do it faster. But I also understand that when I'm at that point in life, and you've been told that your days are numbered, that everything starts becoming in different colors. the black and white starts becoming vibrant. When you see certain people walk into the room, your heart lights up. Your eyes light up. Everything vibrates differently than what it used to. We in life take so much for granted that I feel like I ought to be on my knees and confess my sin of my daily taking things for granted in my life. Because when you recognize that life is short, and when I make resolution with that, then people is what becomes important to me. My relationships is what becomes important to me. My beliefs and my relationship with my Heavenly Father becomes very important to me. Were they not beforehand? Absolutely. But because of the challenges of the day, because of everybody's request, because of the phone call and this little stupid thing called a cell phone, people text you and call you and all that. And that's all right. Don't stop doing that. But there's days that I need to say, hey, wait, I need time with my family. I need time with the people that are in my inner circle and don't just love me for what I do for them. They love me for who I am. And let's face it, when you really sit down, start making a list of people that love you for who you are and not what you do, that list becomes from 20 to 30 to 5 or 4 or 3 or less. Because unconditional love from people is a rarity. And if you have that in your life, if you have that in your circle, do not let the rest of this evening go by without letting them know they are one of your precious treasures in your world. Because there's going to be a day that you get a diagnosis, or God forbid, there's going to be a day that you get no warning at all, and a meteorite comes out of the sky and lands on your house and you're gone. And you're going to want to wish that you had time to share with your loved ones, those people that you care about, that care about you too, what your heart is all full of. And it's not just full of love for things. It's full of love for people. In that understanding that the calendar has had the last 3 or 4 years of the future possibly taken away. And it went from years to possibly a few months. It gets you to understand, what would I have done differently if I had known this when I was 20? How would I and what would I say to my 20-year-old self? Understanding what I know today, 40 some years later, what would I say? One of those things I would say is, if you're waiting for the right time to do something, you're never going to find it. And you're going to pass it by. There is never a right time to do it, because you're going to waste your entire life doing absolutely nothing. If there is a dream in your life, if there is something you want to accomplish, you act on that now. Don't wait for the perfect timing, because I did that time after time. Oh, but when I get out of high school, oh, when I get out of college, oh, when I get that next degree, or when I get more established and I have a home, or when I get that bank account up to where I want it to be, or after I get married and have a kid, and you just keep on going. And now it's, oh, well, after I retire, or after this happens, or after all the kids move out and the dogs dies, or whatever excuse that you have to get something done, you need to pick the time and pick it now, because there is no right time. And if you're going to stand around waiting for it, you will never, ever accomplish that dream. You will never accomplish that goal. The right time to do something is tonight. and get it done. First thing in the morning, say, I'm going to do that now. If there's somebody that you need to talk to, somebody you need to mend ways with, if there's somebody that needs to forgive you or you forgive them, do not wait before it's too long. You wait until you have the time right now or in the minute after the show's over or first thing in tomorrow morning, but you act on it immediately because I've wasted my life waiting for the right time. And until I actually put it on a calendar, it never got done. That's why I have on my calendar right now when my next book is going to be out, Embracing Your Scars, How to Put Your Pains into Turn Your Pains into Power and Purpose in Your Life. I know exactly when that's coming out. Is it completely written? No, but I already have the target date because if I don't, I'll never have a challenge to get me there. It'll be something that I always continually put off. And I've done that almost 61 years. I'm going to be 61 in July. And I just can't believe that. But don't wait for the perfect time to start achieving your dream. Because if you do, you will never get anything done. Also, I have found out, and I've actually acted on this, that you're going to be thousands of times happier if you go ahead and forgive your parents and stop blaming them for your problems. Oh, that one hurt, didn't it? I did that. I'm this way because of that. I do this because that's the way I was raised. I can't help it. I did. Stop. I'm going to be 100,000 times happier and more content with myself to recognize I just need to forgive them even though they made mistakes. I need to forgive, forget, and move on. It's over. They're both gone. They're both dead. They're both in the grave, and I still blame them for things. Forgiveness is huge, not for their actions. Forgive them for you, for you to be able to release that. And that forgiveness, and I know I'll get texts and emails tonight saying, Greg, you don't know what they've done to me. It doesn't matter. Don't forgive them. Forgive you. It's for you. It's not to make them feel better. They may be gone too. It's to make you feel better. And stop using that as a way to blame for what you're doing, in my case, 45, 50 years later. That was a long time ago. That was in the late 60s, early 70s. Are you kidding me? I'm the way I acted today, the way I didn't justify my actions today is because of something that happened to me when I was a kid. Yeah, it may have drove me to that direction, but it doesn't control me. And I don't want to be controlled by that anymore. Also, I think another life lesson that I've learned in the past few months is that you become more stronger, more mature, when you start recognizing and training yourself not to take everything personal. Not everything that happens in life we should take personal. We are always walking into a room and think that everybody's talking about us the moment that we walk in. I hate to break your bubble, but 99.9% of the people that when you walk into a room, don't care that you or I even walk in. All they care about them is themselves and who's looking at them and how they are relating to everybody. And is everybody looking at me? Do they like my hair? Do they like my outfit? It's not about you. And when I stop taking everything personal, that a lot of times the interactions and the arguments that I have, and the friction that I have with certain people in my life isn't about me. at all. It's about something that they're dealing with their own battles. And in that trauma-informed mindset we need to have in our personality and our character, that we need to recognize they have their issues, I have mine. And if I keep taking things personally, it's going to come back to haunt me. And I'm going to be so much more mature when I recognize it's not personal. Don't take it personal. We're going to take a break right now. I'm going to put some notes together here real quick to make sure I'm on the right page. 888-627-6008. I'm looking at all the people that's on the different sites right now. Looks like we have a good crowd. Thank you for joining us. I'd love to have a comment from you. I'd love to have somebody call in and ask a question. 888-627-6008. And TJ, roll that commercial because we'll be right back after this short commercial break, and we'll finish up the last segment. You don't want to miss it. Hang with us. Thanks.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
All right, welcome back. I'm dancing to the theme music of the radio show, and this white boy can't dance. I guarantee you that. But anyway, welcome back to the program. This is just an hour of me opening up my heart, just chatting with you as if we were sitting across the table having a cup of coffee. And wouldn't it be nice to have some mashed potatoes right now and some gravy or something like that? I'm kind of hungry. But just to be able to visit and talk with people and share what journey we've been on, and what we've learned from that journey. And that's all I'm trying to do tonight. I'm trying to build, and I'm being honest, and I don't want to get sentimental or cry and all that stuff. I'm trying to build something in the next book or two that I already have in my mind that I want to write, before I ride out into the horizon, if I ever do. I may outlive everybody. I believe that I could do that. But I want to have something left behind that somebody can refer to that says, hey, I need help understanding something. And they can somehow go into an archive of a program, grab my book, or notes that from a speech that I gave or something, or an interaction that I had with them one-on-one on the phone, to be able to have some type of impact and a legacy that hangs on longer than I do. And I think that is so important. You know, let me be honest, and I like to step on my own toes. I can go right over here from Light Up Dine, and I would show it to you if I could turn the camera and get it back. But just beyond here is my recliner where I sleep. And on the other side of that is a little bookshelf that is stacked. I'm talking jam-packed with books. Okay, it has books after books after books. And matter of fact, there's 7 books on top of the vase. That's a vase like this almost, but smaller. On top of the vase that I want to eventually get to read. 99% of those books are self-help books. And I want to let you know, You don't need 100 self-help books to be successful in life. You need action and self-discipline. I need action and self-discipline. If you want something done, don't read a book by Oprah. Don't read a book by Dr. Phil. Don't read a book by Dr. Perry. And I'm not saying any of those guys' books aren't good. They're all good. And I've probably read them all. But then you spend 2 weeks reading a book, and then you understand what you need to do. And what you need to do was put the book down and get to work. React to it. Take action. And in that action, be disciplined. The people that will rise, and I found this in life, rise to the top of the ladder in business, in life, are the ones that dress for business and success. When I was working as the person that took people in the middle of the night at the ER in Missouri, I dressed in a suit and tie. And they would come in and people go, "What are you dressed up for?" Because I want to dress like the position that I wanted to obtain. And that was to run that hospital, to be the top dog at that hospital, because I wanted that. I was going to strive for that. So I started dressing like that. And then I started taking action to be able to do that. And the only way to do that in my own world was be self-disciplined. I think my boys have this. They have that work ethic that when they're told to go to work, they show up to work. They're there and they're slinging sweat. And I believe in that. So don't go out and buy another self-help book. Don't listen to this show over again. Just simply go do something and then be disciplined in it and learn it and be the best that you can be in whatever it is that you choose to do. I honestly feel, and I'm not trying to be arrogant, I am the most important person at Baylor College of Medicine. Now I know in the back of my mind, I don't do surgeries. I don't deliver babies. I don't save lives. I don't put a limb back on. I don't go in and do brain surgery. I don't do any of that. If I walked into the operating room with a scalpel, they would say, "Great, attention, Mr. Williams, please leave the building." I mean, it would be ugly. So I'm smart enough to know that. But I go in recognizing that if I don't do my job, my boss, which is a surgeon, can't do his. So who's the most important person? In my book, it's the one that makes sure you can do yours and do it right. And that's what I love about life, is I try to find something that that my OCD blended in with, and paperwork and meticulous dates and outlines and projects and all that is my cup of tea. So I found something that I could excel in, but then I just was self-disciplined enough to be the best that I could be at it, whatever it is. If you're a person that changes tires on a car at Discount Tire, which is a couple blocks away, do it the best way that can be done. If you're a lawnmower, do it better than any other lawnmower in town. And I think that's what pride is all about, that self-discipline and action is huge in your life. Another thing that I wrote down that I have learned in the last few months that I cannot expect people to be honest with me when they're not even honest with themselves. That's huge. Let me repeat that. You can't expect honesty from people who even lie to themselves. I don't know what that means to you, but I know what it means to me. And in that, I have to take another look that if they're not being honest with who they are, where they're at, what they need, how they need to be approached, how they need to improve or change or develop, then I can't expect them to be honest with me. Remember that, and remember that in relationships also. Another thing that I've learned the hard way over the years, and I don't mean this, and I'm not going to say names, okay? Most people get stuck. Listen to this. This is going to hit a few of you right between the eyes. Most people get stuck in toxic relationships because they're afraid to be alone. They're afraid they won't have somebody else to go to. They're afraid they won't have another friend. So they stay in a toxic relationship thinking that's all they deserve, or that they don't have enough faith in themselves that someone else will love them genuinely and not in a toxic way. And if you're in one of those relationships, I ask you to please take a big, deep breath. Take a few steps back and go, what's wrong with this picture? Now, the common denominator is that it's everybody around you is toxic. Make sure that you're not the common denominator. You may be the toxic person. You may be the one that's poisoning all these other relationships. But when you finally determine that that's not it, take a deep breath and then a bird's eye view of saying, I wonder if I need to eliminate this friend from my inner circle. If I need to start making steps towards eliminating that person in my life. Another one, that's huge. I had friends, relationships that lasted years longer than they ever should have because I thought I needed a friend. And in reality, they weren't true friends to begin with. They weren't true relationships to begin with. They were only there while everything was good, while the fountain was flowing. When the fountain started hiccuping a little bit, running dry, either emotionally or materially or financially or whatever that fountain was at the time, they disappeared. So were they there for me, or were they there for the stuff? Chances are, if they're there for the stuff, you might as well eliminate it now. You might as well, because they're going to be gone anyway in a short period of time. Another one, the most difficult mission on this earth is to focus on your God-given dream. The most difficult mission and task on earth is to focus on your God-given dream. The easiest mission and task in the world is to complain. Which one are you doing? Which one are you focusing on? Which one is occupying majority of your time? Are you trying to achieve the dream? Are you spending time talking about it? Are you spending time sending out personalized invitations to the biggest pity party in the world that you are hosting on behalf of yourself? Because if you are, cancel the party. Cancel the pity party and start going after the dream. God's got something bigger for you. God's got something bigger than me. The last thing I want to do is just curl up in a ball and die. I'm not going to do that. You don't need to do that either. But the last thing I'm going to do is stand around and complain about everything that I'm dealing with. Oh, I hurt here. Oh, that hurts. Oh, that won't move right. Oh, I wonder when, if. I wonder why I can't get into that doctor. I have to take that medicine. Well, that makes me feel like this. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep striving and take one step at a time closer to the dreams that I still have, why I have them, why I have the ability to be able to reach them. Let's think about this. Think about this. This is exactly what's happening in our world right now. Look at the mess that just our country is in. There's not a city that you can go to that isn't overtaken with homelessness, with crime, with economic stress, with high prices, with people that don't know what to do, with job loss. And it seems like stress levels are just coming up and up and up and up and up. You can either buckle under and go, oh, there's just no hope for me. Or you can grab yourself up and say, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out and pave me a way that's going to put something on my table that I can eat each night for me and my family if it takes 5, 6, 7 jobs to do it. I'm not just going to sit on my backside and just let it all come over me with all this negativity that the world wants to hand us. It don't matter who's president. Let's be honest. Trump or Biden, it doesn't matter. The negativity is still going to be there. It may matter who actually does policies that run right, that actually help us instead of hinder us, but it's not going to stop the negativity because 50% of our country is going to complain about it, while the other 50% is complaining about the people that are complaining about it instead of finding solutions. It's taking us off what the problem is. And the problem is we need to stick together and join together and become a United States again, a country that fights for each other, not fight against each other. Now you say, Greg, one word, you just went into politics. What'd you do that detour for? Well, let me tell you, because we do the exact same thing in families. We do the exact same thing at the office. We do the exact same thing in your inner circles. We do the exact same thing at church. We start finding negativity, and then we start focusing on the negativity instead of the good things and the positive things. And I want to let you know, yes, my body and my muscles and my legs feel like they are ripping out by shreds each and every moment of my life right now. There's days I have some ease, but every day is pain. But I don't go up and down the hallway of work, walk into the sanctuary of church, or walk into a family member's home and go, oh, good morning. Boy, do I not feel awful. Good night, this hurts. No. You look at the positive things. You love people, enjoy people. You cherish people and those moments, because those moments are what makes the pain go away. The love, the relationships, the memories, the hugs, just the stop and the look in the eyes and say, I love you, means all the world to me. And when you see their eyes start to dilate, you know they love you back, because that's a little secret clue you need to look for. When their eyes dilate, they're telling you, even before they say words, I love you. And that's important to me. That is the treasure that I'm hanging on to. That is the reason that I get up every day and shower and keep on keeping on, to have one more memory that I can share and let the negativity take it to the bathroom and flush it. I'm too old to change my life now just so I can fit in with somebody else's life. If you don't like me by now, I'm probably not the one you want to invite to dinner, because I'm not going to change just to sing and dance so you will accept me. Life's too short. I'm going to surround myself with people that love me for exactly who I am, how I am, how they know I'm going to be, and that know, listen to this. None of this is written down. I went off script a long time ago. I thought I had this all written out, but I knew I wouldn't. When they know everything about me, when people know all of my ugliness, all of my faults, all of the wrinkles that's in my emotional face, all of the scars and the wounds that are not healed, all of those behaviors that if I don't get someplace on time, I start getting antsy and aggravated, all of those things that go, oh, there he goes again. And they still love me? They still want me there? They still invite me over? They still want to share their life with me and be with me? Why would I want to be with anybody else? Why would I want to be with a whole bunch of people? A whole stadium full of people that don't like me, that are just pretending to, when I can find just a handful of people that do, and I would give my life for them, give their life for me. That is what it's all about. I have those people in my life. And for the rest of my life, I'm going to take care of those people. And I'm going to cherish my time with those folks. I will still help people. I will still try to answer every one of your emails, every one of your texts, every one of your phone calls. And I want you to be on this program and share your story. As long as we have this program, I want you to have a place where you can come and share your silence and allow it to be broken so healing can begin in your life without being judged. You don't get that everywhere. Without being contradicted, you don't get that everyone. Without being condemned, without being pushed aside and edited, I want you to have a place to where you feel comfortable with telling me and the entire world what's happened to you. And I appreciate you allowing me in your house, in your car, in your phone, in your earplugs, however you're listening to me or seeing me tonight, for all of these years. Because it gives me a reason to log in every Sunday night and share from my heart with you. And I want you to share from your heart with me. But most of all, if you didn't get anything out of this, and I'm winding down, so TJ, be ready to run the credits here. Spend your time with people that genuinely love you. Give of yourself for people that are authentic to you. Clear off your calendar for people that will never let you down and love you, even though they know everything about you. Those are the ones you need to hold close. Those are the ones that you need to draw to you and never, ever let them go. There's people out there like that for you. If you don't feel like you have somebody, you can text me tonight, 832-396-6525. You can call, prefer text first so we can set up a time so I'm not on another call. I don't want to not catch a call when it comes through. So please text me or email me. Hey, I'd like to reach out to you. I want to allow you that opportunity to talk. And as we close the program, I want to thank Don, Doug, Thomas Newsom at the BBS radio station for being not only casual friends, but for being real friends with me and our entire radio audience. And they'll be there for you if you need them. And I appreciate you allowing this avenue for me to be able to share from my heart without it having to be edited or approved before I go on and say it. There's no censor that is cutting out anything I say. And I have that freedom, and I enjoy that freedom that only you can get in places like BBS Radio. So please join us again next week for another edition. But before we go, I always want to end with this. No matter what you're dealing with, no matter what the doctor told you this week, no matter what kind of paperwork's going to come through the mail tomorrow, or what kind of boss you're going to walk into the office to tomorrow. There's hope. There's always hope. Even if you have the worst diagnosis you can fathom. MD Anderson right across the street, and you've just been diagnosed with incurable cancer. Incurable is a man-made word. Incurable has never come out of the mouth of my Lord Jesus Christ, and it never will. He's still a Lord of miracles. Folks, there's always, always hope. Never forget that. Thanks for joining me tonight. I hope I didn't disappoint you by being the only person on tonight, but I just wanted to share with you from my heart. God bless. Have an awesome week. Join us right here next week for another live edition from Houston, Texas, of Breaking the Silence. Have an awesome week. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.